opening some things up to me. It's been unusual because it's been one thing right behind another thing. But a few weeks ago, the Lord just spoke the phrase to me, under the influence. And when that happens, I know to pay attention. And so that's what we're going to talk to you about this morning, is under the influence. And I don't know if we'll get through with this or not. If we don't, we'll continue it, okay? But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, and to set just set a little bit of background, Paul had been into the area of Galatia. Galatia's an area rather than a city or region. And Paul had had very effective ministry in Galatia, and he had left, and then after he left, some other people had come in and were influencing the Galatians, and Paul had actually won to the Lord Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel of Jesus with them. And then he writes this letter to the churches at Galatia. And in the third chapter, in the first verse, he says, "O foolish Galatians," and this is my translation, okay, or paraphrase, "who has wrongfully influenced you to disobey the truth? In your midst and before your eyes, Jesus Christ was declared crucified." It's really amazing how you can open up under the divine influence of God, the message of God, give God the people, the truth of God's Word. And then in a short period of time, someone can come along with some deceptive teaching and influence you to go in a wrong direction. And this is what Paul is saying. Foolish Galatians, who wrongfully influenced you? You know, how in the world could this happen? Everybody, I understand, is influenced by someone. Everybody in this room has been and is being influenced by people. Some influence you with truth and with right motives, but some will influence you with deception and wrong motives. You understand? They can distort a truth with wrong motives and actually destroy you. So it's imperative that we guard our hearts against wrong influence. You better be cautious who you subject yourself to. And obviously we need to attend to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and obey their instructions. That's good influence, you understand. And if we don't, we're going to submit to wrong influence that will ultimately damage our relationship with God and generally hurt other people along the way. But we must realize that because of the influence that's all around us, that we're to do what he tells us in Proverbs, to guard our hearts with all diligence. Because what is going in will ultimately come out. And so you need to set a sentry at the door of your heart to where you refuse to allow certain influences over your life. And we're in a society right now that's just, and I'm talking about the church world, I'm not talking about just sinners. You expect a sinner to be a sinner, but you expect Christians to be different, you understand. But we're in a society right now that subjects themselves to all types of ungodly influence. And that's hard for me to comprehend. Why, once you've heard the truth, would you want to move away from truth? It's an interesting thing to me. A person can work on something, and let's just say in a food. They can work on preparing a food and experiment and get that thing down to perfection. And then, you know, after everybody, man, that's it. Then they want to try to improve it. Why would you change it if it's working? And you know, it started back many years ago with one of our presidents saying, we need change. Well, jumping out of the pot into the fire is not good change. And the only reason we would need change is if what we're doing is not working properly. But if what we're doing is working, don't change. You understand? And over the years, even in secular work, I've had people to come in and try to influence me to use a product that wasn't as good as the product I was using and offer to give me some bribes along the way if I did. You with me? And people are falling for this stuff today. Listen, if what you have is working for you in a godly manner, don't let anybody talk you out of it. So, we need to ask ourselves, and I'm talking about being sober and very conscious in how we reply, is what or whose influence are you under? Whose influence am I under? What influence am I under? And that can change during the day, you understand. You can start out having a glorious time with the Lord and then get in the wrong influence and act like the devil. And so when you act like the devil, guess whose influence you're under? And go ahead and admit it and start guarding that to where you stay under the right influence. And we're in a world where there's both secular and Christian religious marketing. Everybody know what marketing is? You've got the phone calls, right? So people are constantly trying to influence our thoughts and actions. And it's amazing to me how adamant some people are. I think it was just last week or week before last, someone called me. Some marketing deal. It was last week, I think it was, first of the week. And I told them that, you know, I could appreciate what they're doing, but I wasn't interested. They were not going to let me off. They were wanting money, you understand? And they kept on and on and on and on trying to put me on a guilt trip. Well, I've decided not to take the trips. And so you can talk to you blue in the face. And if I tell you no the first time, the 100th time I'm still going to tell you no. And you can talk all you want to talk, and it's not going to change my mind. And you're wasting your breath. But this person actually got upset with me. And that's what they do. People try to influence you and try to think you either ungodly or stupid, one or the other, if you don't fall for what they're trying to sell you or influence you to do. And it's amazing how many people have bought things they don't need. None of you have ever done that, right? Don't raise your hand, okay? Because of an influence. I had someone to tell me just recently, I just did it to get them off. I gave them money just to shut them up. Well, I'm not going to give you money to shut you up. You just shut up. You with me? What is it? It's an influence to try to get you to do something that you in your heart do not want to do. Don't violate your conscience. You understand? Guard your heart. Protect yourself. And don't fall for all this stuff that's going on. I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope you can handle this, but I'm going to tell you that the modern day church has become a den of thieves. Okay? Stealing from the congregation. Trying to put them on a guilt trip and make you feel like you're disobeying God if you don't do what they're asking you to do in giving what you're asking to give. Nowhere in the Word of God do you find that God pressures anybody to do anything. Everything's by invitation. And He doesn't badger you with the invitation. Whosoever will, that's His invitation. then you choose whether you will or you won't. Churches are taking advantage of people by stealing from them monetarily and by stealing from them spiritually. How many people have been talked out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Influence. How many people reject listening about the Holy Spirit and being baptized? Influence. And I just use that because that's a very obvious thing to us. But so many people are under influence and they don't even realize they're under that kind of influence, and so they rebel against a good thing that God's trying to do to them or for them. It's really amazing what's purported in the name of God. I mean, there's a lot of dope passed on from pulpits in the name of God. You understand? And people fall for it. I'm going to tell you, there's more to addiction than alcohol and drugs. People can become addicted to traditions and religion to the point that they just shut off God. And they start falling for things that appeal to the flesh and reject the things that are trying to get to the spirit of man. Why is that? It's an influence. It's an influence. That's why you have to be cautious with what you subject yourself to and who you subject yourself to. The environment that you put yourself under, it will influence you. It can be right or wrong, but I'm going to tell you that today it appears that most of it's wrong. Trying to influence you to do the wrong thing. How many of you have realized this is a perverted world that we live in? So we have to learn to live unperverted lives by subjecting ourselves to the influence of God's Word and Spirit. And if you don't keep yourself under the influence of the Word and Spirit, you will be influenced by something that will take you in a wrong direction. Your dominant thoughts influence your action. So what do people appeal to? They're going to appeal to your intellect. They're going to try to get you thinking a certain way. And I believe, if we'd be honest, that everybody in this room has allowed other people to interject thoughts into your minds, and it resulted in wrong action. Everybody. You understand? And some of them, we've just done some dumb things and knew it was dumb while we were doing it. But we were under the influence. Okay? And because thoughts influence us, we have to be attentive to what we're thinking. Wrong thoughts produce wrong actions. Right thoughts produce right actions. That's why, you know, people tell me that this, that, or the other. I say, well, don't think about it. If you don't think about it, it won't bother you. Yeah, but you don't know what they said about me. If you don't think about it, it won't bother you. And the more you think about it, the more it's going to work on you. And you can think yourself mad. Do you understand? All this takes place in the heart by allowing wrong influence. What you feed your mind governs your thoughts. I've had people to call me up and say, so-and-so said something about you. You want to know what they said? I said, no. If I don't know what they said, I don't have to fight it. You understand? So I'd just rather not hear it. Shut it off. They're the loser. And this is done in so many ways. It's done through media. It's done through reading. It's done through conversation. But think about this. What do you read? Now, I'm just going to give you a little thought right here. You can read science, you can read English, you can read fiction, you can read nonfiction, or you can read the absolute truth, the Word of God. Why is it that born-again believers spend so much time reading novels and fiction? What is fiction? I mean, the Word itself should put up a flag. Why would I want to read something and let something influence me when I know that it isn't true to begin with? But people are doing it. What do you watch? That's influencing you. What entertains you? That influences you. And here's what you have to ask yourself. Is what I'm reading or what I'm watching or what I'm looking at for entertainment, is that conducive to spiritual growth? If it isn't, leave it alone. Because if it's not conducive to, it's hindering. There's no gray area. So, what you subject yourself to will ultimately have influence over you. Do you realize that? I think all of you in this room are intelligent enough to realize that. You just have to admit it. Okay? You know it. But once you know it, then there's something you need to do about it. And then another thing that's important in this area is just stop. Because you're influencing other people, right? So stop and think before you say things or start putting things into people's life that are going to influence them, okay? And then consider how the thoughts you're thinking is going to affect other people. As I came up here and sat down, the word just really came alive on the inside of me, consideration. Consideration. How many things do we do or say without considering other people and how it's going to affect other people's lives? You can do great damage with words. And believe it or not, you're not the only person on the planet. And a lot of the things that we say and do, really, it's irrelevant. It's just a preference. You prefer this. Back years ago, I read some statistics on church splits. And doctrine wasn't the issue. The major issue in church splits was colors, like colors of the carpet, and pictures, decoration. That brought about church splits, or it still does, okay? Now, here's the way I look at it. Everyone in this room has different taste, right? So which one's right? You have maybe a preferred color. Which one's right? Is because you prefer it, make it right, and everybody else wrong? Now here's the way I practice. If it's not going to affect the spiritual growth of the church, then it doesn't care. I don't care what color. You want to put pink carpet in here? I don't care. I didn't come in here to look at the carpet. And that's not an exaggeration. God's my witness on that one. I'm not interested in all those things. I like things to be attractive, you understand. But those things don't matter. So when someone says, you know, I would like to do this, fine. That's fine. Just consider all those around you and how it affects everybody around you. And then don't just look out for your interests, look out for the interests of other people. We're to look out for their welfare, not just focus on us. Because by being inconsiderate, you're having a tremendous influence, a tremendous negative influence on people's lives that can actually build resentment. Inconsideration will build resentment in a person that's not spiritually mature. You follow me? Okay. There's a worldly influence. I'm going to break this things down into different type influences, okay? There's a worldly influence. In John chapter 17, Jesus, during the speaking, said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's a difference between in and of. We all know that, right? We're in it, but we're not to let the world influence us. There's a song that says, this world is not my home. Well, believe it or not, that's a true statement. How long are you going to live in this world? You don't know. But I'll bet you that it's not 150 years. Not by stats. If you do, you'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records, okay? The bottom line, this is just a temporary thing. We're passing through. We're on a journey. It's like Abraham was looking for a city. He was on a journey. The city he was looking for wasn't here. He stayed in temporary dwellings, and we think that everything should be permanent, when in reality what we call permanent is temporary. And we allow the world to influence us to get our minds off of eternal things onto the temporary, and consequently we're losing out on some things. So we're not to let the world influence us. It's obvious that we're physically in the world, but we're not to be governed by the systems of the world. And I'm telling you that the church is governed by the systems of the world. The way the ecclesiastical sets up its system, the religious system, is really a copy of what the world's doing. It's infiltrated the church. And let me give you a little bit of an example of what systems of the world are: politics, economics, education, religion, media, sports. The church uses every one of these things. The church has let these things come in and influence it. These systems are not to influence our thinking to the point that we're not to think contrary to the will and ways of God. You follow me? We're in the world. So there's things that we do in the world, but they're not to influence us to go against the ways and the will of God. We're to do the ways and will of God in the world. That's why Jesus said, pray that the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done in earth. Now, if you pray and you get in communication with God, then you'll be under divine influence, so the will and ways of God will be done in your life. You're in the world, but influenced by a different kingdom. God wants us under a different government. He wants our spirits to be governed not by the world, but by Him, so He can express Himself right here in earth. So these systems should not influence our thinking to move us away from God. But you know that's what happened to the Galatians? It was a religious mindset that caused them to move from a crucified Christ, that believing that we're saved by grace and not by works. A religious system came in and had them, swayed them to move from the truth. It's doing the same thing today. Many Christians are influenced more by the news media than they are by the Word of God. What a tragedy. You believe a lie before you believe the truth. And people are not going to miss 6 o'clock news. Or their newspaper, or whatever. Now, you can call me eccentric, you can call me anything you want to, it doesn't matter to me. I have an obligation to tell you the truth, and I'm telling you that these things will influence you, your thinking, to where you think wrongly, and you can watch the news and it will get you mad, angry. Is that God? No. Then why are you subjecting yourself to it? Or you watch these political debates and then get upset That's unpersonal. Why? What does watching the debate do for you? Nothing but make you mad. It stirs up works of the flesh. And I won't just count down on this, but I just thought I'd just share that with you. Things that are influencing your life and you don't even realize they're influencing you. Television has probably had the single most influence over anybody's life than anything that's ever been. And then it opened the door for the news media to put a propaganda out to influence people to do whatever. And it's been a great marketing strategy to sell products, to influence people to buy products that aren't any better than another product. But it's who has, you know, the big thing is who has the best commercial. And it's amazing how people buy off of a commercial. And they don't understand that the whole objective of that commercial is to influence you to buy the product. If you really have a good product, then show me the test of it. Let's see it in action. And I'll go on. But politics, sports, economics consume the conversation of many professing believers. I'm telling you, you get around, just it doesn't take long. Even a group of preachers, sit down with a group of preachers, and it won't be God they're talking about. Isn't that sad? They'd rather talk about politics and all these other things, or sports, or economics, how, you know, what's up, what's down, all this type thing. These things should not be allowed to dominate one who's supposed to be governed by the kingdom of God. And all born-again believers are to be governed by God's kingdom, not the world kingdom. So if you're subjecting yourself to a system of the world, you're subjecting yourself to worldly influence. And you know what happens when you subject yourself to worldly influence? You act worldly. It's as simple as that. So, how about education? Just take it the place of spiritual revelation. You know, growing up in church like I did back in my early years, most of your ministers were really uneducated. A lot of them didn't even have high school education. But you'd find that you have ministers that would pray, and they would be influenced by the Spirit of God. Not a lot of revelation, but inspiration. You understand? But then, and I've seen this transpire before my eyes, you know, to where the more emphasis on education. We don't want you as a pastor of our denomination without education. And more emphasis has been put on degrees, to where when you have all the degrees on education and no emphasis on the Spirit, so all you're doing is giving a superficial message. If it's not impregnated with the Spirit of God, it's superficial. I don't care how many Greek and Hebrew words you pull into it, that's not the issue. Is it inspired by God? If not, it's inspired by man, who is of the world. You with me? And I've watched what this has done to Pentecostal churches, you understand? Full gospel churches, to where they push God out and they want everything to be prim and proper. You know, it has to be just right. We've got to get beyond that. I believe in excellence. I believe in order. But I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Spirit of God should be what we put our emphasis on, not how well a person speaks or how good their vocabulary is and all that type of stuff. But there's great emphasis placed on that today. And because of the education, it's actually influenced people to abandon God's truths, God's morals, and God's principles. Just this past week, I heard a leader of a an organization that people would know, and I'm going to leave it that way. In an interview, make a statement. The person asked, is it true that you don't, that you guys don't, you stay away from morals and you don't preach morals? And the person said yes, and said Jesus did. And I thought, well, that must be a different Bible than I use. You understand? And then I look at the people in that organization and I see world. I mean, when they walk in the room, you can see world, not God. You with me? And I could say a lot to that, but I won't do that. You think I'm meddling, but it really wouldn't be. But religion has become the enemy of truth. Just like it was in Jesus' day. Religion was the enemy of truth. It denies, it defies, or misinterprets the truth of God's Word and builds its own doctrine by using excerpts out of the Word of God. The modern day church is more influenced by the world than it is by God, the God that it professes to represent. We say we represent God, but we don't represent God. Represent is representing. And if you're presenting the world, you're not representing God. If you're presenting a system, you're not representing God. If you're going to represent God, then we've got to be presenting God to the people. Worldly influence has brought about the demise of great nations. Look at England. England back in the 1800s, early 1900s was on fire for God. Great revivals. I mean, a great wealth of revelation came out of the nation. And today, it's an extremely low percent of people who are professing Christians. What brought that about? Worldly influence. Influenced by the things that are surrounding them, more interested in the natural than in the spiritual. When are we going to wake up and stand up for the kingdom of God? Are you going to let people rock you to sleep? We've got to wake up. Most people are under the influence of the world. Consequently, the world rules their lives. That's another tragedy. And I'm talking about the world ruling the lives of Christians. When the world rules the lives of Christians, the world rules the church. And that's exactly what's going on in the modern day church. You'll see much more of the world than you see of God. And when you mix poison with water, it's poison. I don't care if you put one drop in, it's poison. The church has been poisoned. If we're not saying and doing what God says and does because it doesn't agree with the philosophies of the world, we're under the influence of the world. And that's where the church is. We're more philosophical than spiritual. Look at your marquees on most churches. It's a philosophical saying. Thank God there's some that will still put the scriptures out there. Not ashamed of the Word of God. Well, that's a worldly influence. My time flies. I thought I'd be farther along than that. I might stop with this, okay? But we're going to talk about a godly influence, a human influence, and a demonic influence. And there's not a person in here exempt from any one of those things trying to influence you. The only way they can't influence is if we put up that guard, that sentry that refuses to submit to the influence that's coming at you. You understand? A bully can't bully you unless you submit to his influence. That's why we're going to have to stand up for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, for truth, and come under the right influence. Amen? Well, I'll stop there. And as far as I know, we'll pick back up tonight with godly influence.